Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message.
This opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world.
He expects more of us.
He believes we
can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. I had to stop myself from saying welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. This is just our second ever episode of Behind the Work, and we're broadcasting to you live from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. If you didn't know already, we have just passed through Thanksgiving week. The PCOG weekly email was a helpful reminder of that, as it consisted entirely of two Thanksgiving Day proclamations, one from George Washington in 1789 and the other from Abraham Lincoln in 1863. I just want to read a couple of quick excerpts from these proclamations to you and let you try to figure out if there's any correlation between them. The first one here from Mr. Washington. "And also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people, by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best." So that was from George Washington's Thanksgiving Day proclamation of 1789. And here's the excerpt I chose from the Thanksgiving Proclamation of 1863 by Abraham Lincoln. He is reminding or recommending that the people fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore us, as soon as may be consistent with a divine purpose, to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. The common thread there is obviously not just Thanksgiving, but also prayer. Both of these great men were getting God involved in the affairs of the nation. Could you imagine someone speaking like these men did today? How often does it ever happen today that leaders publicly ask God to make sure that the affairs of their nation are up to his standard? It's definitely quite rare. Prayer, this is something that most people don't even think about on the day of Thanksgiving. As I read these two proclamations last week, I thought about all that there is to be thankful for in God's work. We're just going to go through a few of the events that took place in the last week of this work. If you didn't hear the first episode of Behind the Work, you can find it at kpcg.fm or at thetrumpet.com. And like I talked about there, this show is all about the Philadelphia Church of God and the exciting work that this church does. Sunday, November 18th, there was a Watch Jerusalem radio program about host Brent Noctegal's tour of what they call the Gaza Envelope. He made that tour on November 13th, the very day that Hamas launched 400 missiles from Gaza at Israeli civilians. You can go listen to all of our radio programs at kpcg.fm. in this Sunday program of Watch Jerusalem, Mr. Nachtigal interviewed Jews on site who had had their homes destroyed, whose children suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, where even when they hear thunder outside, they think that missiles are coming overhead. Daily life for people living so close to the Gaza Strip that is occupied by Hamas is filled with quick runs to the shelters. They have bomb shelters in pretty much every home in that area, and they're under constant threat of being killed. You can also read the written account of Mr. Nachtigal's tour on November 13th at watchjerusalem.co.il. And it is titled, Reporter's Diary, A Day in the Gaza Envelope. I'll just read to you a quick quote from this, because Mr. Nachtigal experienced it firsthand, what it was like when that code red alert goes off, when that alarm sounds to warn the Jews to flee to their bomb shelters. This is what Mr. Nachtigal wrote. This wasn't just an alarm. It was an alarm warning me that someone a few kilometers from me had just pointed at me a rocket or missile filled with explosives and shrapnel and ignited it with intent to kill. The Hamas terrorist hadn't aimed at me specifically, of course. He doesn't know I exist. But that fact didn't comfort me. It was unnerving. That man had launched a rocket for the purpose of killing any and every Israeli Jew he could hit. Civilian, soldier, man, woman, little boy, little girl, handicapped elderly person, five-month-old baby on a couch in his father's arms. Every Israeli I spoke to while on the Gaza border was hopeful to live side by side with the Palestinians, some of whom were causing their children to grow up with PTSD, some of whom were firing rockets that very day in an attempt to murder them. So we have a firsthand account from a man on the scene in Jerusalem. And again, you can listen to his podcast, Watch Jerusalem, at kpcg.fm, at thetrumpet.com, or at watchjerusalem.co.il. And he does have a written account of his tour through that area as well. Just a really powerful account of what is going on in that violent region of the world. How thankful are we to understand the future of Jerusalem? Right now, Jerusalem is the most violent city on the planet. It is a city that has been fought over. Millions of lives have been lost in the struggle to control this city. Yet we know that in the future, this city will be God's universe headquarters. It will be the city of peace. Actually, not just in name only, but in everyday life, in actual fact. Also, last Sunday, we had a memorial service for a Philadelphia Church of God member who died a few weeks ago. And it was more sad than usual just because this person died in her mid-30s. It's obviously a lot more sad when we feel that a life has been cut short like that. But if you've ever been to a Philadelphia Church of God memorial service, you will learn something, or you'll notice something very different. Why isn't everyone dressed in black? Why aren't people sobbing and weeping uncontrollably? Why aren't people lining up to pay their respects at the casket? Why isn't there more of a focus on death? Why are people basically just devastated at these memorial services out in the world? This is what happens out in the world, but it doesn't happen at a PCG memorial service. And the whole reason is because there is hope beyond this life. out in the world, most people believe that the good will go to heaven and the bad will go to hell. But how does a minister speak about that honestly at a memorial service? What if the memorial service is for someone who clearly and plainly lived a rather evil life? Does that minister then say, well, this person's going to be in hell? Sorry to tell you that. Sad truth. Of course not. Pretty much every time the minister is just going to say, well, this person is now looking down at us from heaven, and so we can be happy about that. If all these people, though, are being honest, they don't understand what comes after this physical life. They don't really know for a fact what happens when physical life ends. So there is a great comfort in knowing that the physical life is only the first life, that there is hope in a resurrection. You can find all kinds of information about this at pcog.org. It is comforting to know what the future holds, and that every person we know and love today, when they end up dying, we'll see them again. I have a quote here from the autobiography of Herbert W. Armstrong. Chapters 70 and 71 cover the tragic death of his son Richard in 1958. His son Richard was really the only child of Mr. Armstrong's who ended up staying loyal to God, and he was a dedicated minister of the Worldwide Church of God. He was on the way back from a trip in California. He had just baptized someone into God's church earlier that day, and he was involved in a head-on crash, was severely wounded, and ended up dying July 30th of 1958. So here's a quote from Mr. Armstrong on page 876 of the autobiography, and it just really points out the kind of strength that you can have even in tragedy, even in trial, when you know what the future holds. So Mr. Armstrong actually had to give the memorial service of his own son. He says here, page 876 of his autobiography, "To say that my comparatively brief graveside sermon was an ordeal would be a gross understatement. I had learned many years before, in conducting many funerals, to steel my nerves and remain calm with controlled emotions. But speaking at Dick's funeral was altogether different. I found myself speaking in a louder, more concentrated voice than usual, in a supreme effort to prevent emotional loss of control. I remember quoting a portion of Lincoln's Gettysburg Address regarding the duty of those of us remaining to carry on the great work to which God had called us. My first impulse was to remain away from the Saturday afternoon college church service. I didn't want to see anybody, nor did Mrs. Armstrong. But then I realized it was my duty to attend. I thought of entering at the last moment and sitting in the front row before anyone could speak to me or offer condolences. But then I realized that some of the students had erroneously assumed that ministers were under such divine protection that no such tragedy could occur to one of them. Dick's accident and death might shatter this faith. I knew I had to bring a message that would bolster and strengthen, not destroy, faith. These experiences were perhaps the most severe test I had ever been called on to experience. But of course, I knew where to go for strength, wisdom, and help." Just a powerful example from Mr. Armstrong there in how he dealt with the death of his son. I couldn't imagine going through something like this, but to just be at the services, the church services, right after that, and to even conduct the memorial service, would take a lot of, like he says there, emotional control. And he did have God's help. He did have the strength that he needed coming from God to go through such a trial like that. Aren't we thankful to understand this truth and to have an example like this? It's incredible to me just going through the autobiography and seeing how everything that we're doing in this work today does have some kind of a parallel to what Mr. Armstrong did until his death in 1986. I can think of parallels to everything we're doing today, except maybe using the internet, because they didn't have that opportunity yet back then. The internet obviously is a great tool for distributing the work today. So that was the second event that I wanted to draw attention to that happened last Sunday. So there was the Watch Jerusalem radio program about the Jews in near the Gaza Strip. And then you have the memorial service last Sunday. And also, in the first episode, I mentioned there was a Columbus personal appearance campaign by Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Fleury. Last Sunday was also the first follow-up Bible study. I spoke with Ohio local elder Victor Vigil this morning, and he said that 18 non-members attended, 17 members attended, and there were 35 there in total. At the campaign, PCG Northeast United States Regional Director Cal Culpepper gave 7 proofs of the one true Church of God. So that was a message for those 35 trumpet subscribers who attended. And what a powerful subject as well. The fact that there are 7 proofs that you could even touch on about the true Church of God is quite striking, and it's probably a unique subject that a lot of people wouldn't think about. But how thankful are we to know that there is one true church? To know that out of the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of different Christian denominations, only one church is completely and truly following God. How thankful are we to know the doctrines of the church, to know what God expects from us in day-to-day life, to know what our future holds. There were great fruits from this personal appearance campaign. And like I said last week, that is evidence that these campaigns are being blessed by God. So three pretty big events there taking place last Sunday. Then on Tuesday of this past week, November 20th, there was an Armstrong International Cultural Foundation event, the Vienna Boys Choir. I have a short part of a report from concert manager Ryan Malone here. This was the 5th time that we have hosted the Vienna Boys Choir at our foundation. And here's the description of the Vienna Boys Choir from armstrongauditorium.org. Audiences and critics worldwide have praised the talented singers of the Vienna Boys Choir for their celestial voices, pure tone, irresistible charm, and, above all, a wide-ranging repertoire spanning centuries. With a rich history dating back more than 500 years, the Vienna Boys Choir has been associated with many of the world's greatest composers, such as Mozart and Bruckner. Haydn and Schubert were themselves choristers. Their 2018 program, Vienna Waits for You, will include selections from these famous composers as well as composers of the Imperial Chapel, parts of the choir's forthcoming Johann Strauss CD, a selection of traditional Viennese songs, plus the song Vienna by Billy Joel. So that's the description of the Vienna Boys Choir at armstrongauditorium.org. They performed here in Edmond, Oklahoma just last Tuesday. And you can go to kpcg.fm and look up the Music for Life radio program. On November 12th, Mr. Malone gave a program titled The Oldest, Youngest Choir Ever about this outstanding group. Here's a part of a weekly music department report that Mr. Malone writes up for Mr. Fleury. Mr. Malone says here, "The Vienna Boys Choir performed a wonderful concert. this group and conductor seemed superior to years past. I felt the concert was tremendously successful and well-received. At the event last Tuesday, 759 tickets were scanned. It was a sold-out event of 823 tickets, but 759 people actually showed up and attended the event, which is a pretty good number for a sold-out concert, meaning that very few seats were actually left open. By the way, if you haven't heard already, Armstrong Auditorium is in the Edmond, Oklahoma version of Monopoly, called Edmondopoly. At Thanksgiving last week, I was at my parents' home, and they actually own that version of Monopoly. Armstrong Auditorium is more expensive on that board than well over half of the other properties, so that's a pretty cool little trivia, I guess. So that was last Tuesday. They had the Vienna Boys Choir here with the foundation. It was a busy week on radio, too. On Wednesday, the conclusion of the Trumpet Hour radio program was about gratitude. The entire Thursday edition of the Trumpet Daily radio show was guest-hosted by Mr. Brad McDonald over in England. And that entire episode was about gratitude. And then the first part of the Friday Trumpet Daily radio show was from our CFO, our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Andrew Loker, and he gave some pretty awesome updates about God's work. So you can go back to the archives at kpcg.fm and look at that Friday program of the Trumpet Daily radio show for some stats from God's work, some facts about God's work that I didn't even give to you today. Also, make sure that you go to pcog.org/news. You'll find a lot of updates about God's work there. And if you just go to pcog.org, you'll find plenty of articles about gratitude, especially at this time of year. All kinds of articles about Christian living, doctrines, really anything you could think of regarding the Bible, you'll find on that website, pcog.org. I'm Grant Turgeon. You'll be hearing from me again on Friday when I do my other program, Trumpet Bookshelf, at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time. Until then, this has been Behind the Word.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 11:30 a.m. Central Time.